Okay. No, not 80. Okay, we've got very strict time here. I've got 20 minutes. I've just asked Mags to let me know when I've done 18 minutes, and she said not 80. So you'll all be pleased to hear about that. What I want to just try and do just now, and then Colin's going to come and talk about a sense of God's call to us. What I want to try and do is try and explain a little bit about what we're trying to do together, the bigger picture, the thing that holds us together. And then this afternoon you'll see all the myriad of different things that we are doing as an expression of this direction that we are going in. One of the words that we had that the Holy Spirit spoke to us about right at the beginning of Community Church was that this was a community that would be off the map. And the very nature of being off the map means it's uncharted territory. We've not walked this way before, and there isn't a map for the direction that we're going in. There are other people who've maybe explored a little bit, and therefore there are some maybe sketch maps or some little diagrams of things that we might encounter along the way. But there isn't a map for what we're doing. There is a sense in which the Holy Spirit, I really believe there is a move of the Spirit amongst churches in this nation to become more missional churches, which is what we will talk about. So there are other communities that are going along this path, but we can't say, look at this church over there, that's what we want to become, because we're all journeying this path together. And I really believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking and moving amongst many communities around Scotland and around the UK and probably all over the world, to become more missional communities. It's not a move of the Spirit where people are falling in the aisles and howling with laughter, but I do believe it's a move of the Spirit. And so I want to try and explain that. One of the difficulties when we're off the map is that you're trying to explain something which you're grasping, and words are very difficult. So I hope you can catch a little bit in what Colin and I are sharing today around how God is leading us. I want to read a scripture. Interestingly enough, I prepared this talk and then looked back at the talk that I gave at the last Vision Day, which was in May last year, and I used the same scriptures, and many of the things that I'm saying today actually were in that talk there. I think they're a bit more developed, a little bit more clear, a sense of God leading us. But actually, the direction that we're traveling in is a direction of travel that we've been intentionally going on over the last wee while. It's not changed. It's developing. A bit more clarity is coming. And for me, one of the key scriptures that I just want to read, I'm not really teaching from the scriptures today, but I do want to read it, is some verses from Genesis chapter 12. And it's where God calls Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, what I want to start with, whenever we think about our vision, our mission, our direction as a church, often people start with church. And I want to start with God. And I want to start with the God of the Bible, who is telling a story in the scriptures and is continuing to tell that story today. And I think it's a very profound shift in where we start. On Wednesdays, I look after our boys. It's called a daddy day, and Toby and Casper have the dubious pleasure of being with dad all day while mum is out to work. The house is usually chaos at the end of the day, but we have quite a lot of fun. A couple of weeks ago, Toby and Casper decided that they wanted to open a restaurant. And so we had Toby and Casper Restaurant. And this was going to be all set out for mum coming back at the end of the day. We decided on a menu. Well, actually, I decided on a menu. We were going to start with bruschetta, followed by stir-fry noodles, and then some homemade frozen strawberry yogurt, which wasn't quite frozen because we didn't put it in the freezer in time. But anyway, we got some menus, which I printed out and wrote out and had Toby and Casper's photograph on there and Toby and Casper's restaurant and all the rest. They helped lay the table. We put some candles out, so when Pippa came home, the table was laid and the candles were all out. And my son is here, so I'm not sure I want him to hear this. Anyway, and so we had this restaurant. I got all the food out, and I did all the cooking, and the place looked fantastic. And at the end of the meal, Toby announces, "Isn't my restaurant fantastic? Aren't I such a great chef?" And I'm thinking, you did absolutely none of the cooking whatsoever. I sweated all day doing all these menus and all the rest. And here you come and you say, "Aren't I such a great chef?" Hey, Tobes, just talking about you. He's too young to understand. I'll need to be more careful in the future. But you see, isn't that exactly what we do? Isn't that exactly what we do? So often we think it's our mission and our thing that we're doing, and we've got to do this for God. But actually, we need to start with this is God's mission. And there's a little, I want to read a quote, and then I'm really testing David's ability with the video projector here. Mission means the committed participation of God's people in the purposes of God for the redemption of the whole creation. The mission is God's. The marvel is that he invites us to join in. I mean, it's fantastic. Here is God's mission, and he invites us to participate in it. That is amazing. And so there's a little phrase which I've slightly adapted. It's not my own. I wish it was, but I think it's brilliant. It's not so much that the church of God has a mission, but it's the God of mission has a church. It's got to start with what God is doing and this narrative and this story that we find in Scripture. And so there's a little phrase, I've used this before, Missio Dei, God's mission, which is becoming increasingly, if you can follow me, we're now on to the next slide, which has many different parts. It's God's mission that we are invited to participate in. And the reason that the Scripture that we read is so important is what we find is the story, the first 11 chapters of Genesis is such an important part of the story. God creates human beings. He creates the earth and the sky and the sea and birds and fish and all the rest. And he sees it and he sees that this is very, very good. And the trouble is man, human beings decide that actually they think they know better. They think that actually we would do a better job of being God. And the whole thing, at that moment in time, a flaw comes into the whole of creation. A flaw comes into the creation of the earth and the sky and the sea. A flaw comes into the way that human beings relate together. A flaw comes into every system that man then creates, economic, political, business, whatever system it is. A flaw comes into the hearts of every human beings. And we reap the results, and we've been doing that for thousands of years. And you only need to see the news to see the terrible consequences of the arrogance of men and women that think that we can do a better job of being God. And Genesis 12 is the beginning of God's story. Genesis 12 is what God does in response to all of this. And you think he might have all kinds of plans, but what he does is he says, "I'm going to make a family. I'm going to call Abraham. Abraham as he was now. I'm going to call this man. I'm going to make a family. And I am going to unleash all the resources of heaven upon this family. They are going to be abundantly blessed." I mean, can you imagine lying in bed next to Abraham at night, Abraham going, "Hey, I'm God's answer to the world. I'm God's blessing." But that's what God chose. He chose Abraham and the family. And this family was going to be abundantly blessed with all the resources of heaven. But it was never intended to stop there. Israel, I don't think, often got this. It was never intended so that they could sit around and say, "This is fantastic. Aren't we blessed? God is blessing us. We're having a great time. Oh, I so love being in the presence of God and enjoying myself and having a nice time. And he's healing me and changing me. And he's providing me. And isn't it brilliant that we can walk through these difficult times with faith and all the rest?" It was never meant to be stopping at us. It was always intended that it would be a blessing to all the nations. That was always the intent. "I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to the nations." And the story unfolds from there. We see that Israel doesn't necessarily understand all of this. So God has a plan. And the plan, you know, David Cameron stands up saying, "I'm a man with a plan." Well, no, God has a plan, and he has a man, and the man is Jesus, and Jesus came. And Jesus came to create a family of God's people that would be blessed, that would have all the resources of heaven, and be blessed so that they could be a blessing to the earth. And that's the story that we find ourselves in. And so we start with Missio Dei. When I've preached about this, so I can't say much more. But when we come to Revelation, we see that actually heaven crashes into earth. And suddenly we find a world that is renewed and recreated, restored, where there is no pain and suffering, where there is nothing that is dislocated and wrong. God has healed the flaw that exists within the structures and within the cosmos, within all creation. There is no social injustice. There's no Darfurs. There's no poverty. There is no selfishness. There's no breakdown in relationships. I mean, imagine a world where there's no death and dying, and that's what God is recreating. He's recreating the new heavens and the new earth with a redeemed community that love one another passionately and purely. And there is no dislocation and disconnect. There are no earthquakes and tsunamis that kill thousands of people. There is no poverty. There is no deserts and droughts and all the rest that cause such famine and heartache and hardship in the world. There is no greed on Wall Street, which causes economic chaos for thousands of people that have done absolutely nothing to deserve it. And God is recreating the whole earth. And that's the mission that we are invited to be part of. I think that's an amazing thing. God is doing this. And he says, hey guys, do you want to get involved? This is fun. I'm having fun. I think it might be fun for you to do it. Let's create a Toby and Casper restaurant. But let's remember it's my restaurant. But you can be involved. And this would be tremendous fun. So we start, when we think about the mission of the church here, we start with this is God's mission, and he invites us. Firstly, he gathers us as a community. He gathers us as a family. We're not just part of some worldwide nebulous family of God. Well, we are. But we're a family here, and he invites us, and he gathers us, and he puts us in community. He puts us in God's community because he knows that we cannot do it on our own. There is a move in these days where people walk away from church thinking that actually we can do this following Jesus business on our own. I want to say we cannot do that. We absolutely cannot do that. So God gets hold of our hearts and we are captivated by this man Jesus that walked the earth and this God Jesus that we see in Revelation, full of glory and passion and power and beauty and purity. And we're captivated by him, and I know that I need other people to follow Jesus together. And he pulls us into this community that we, and then he invites us and says, hey, I've got this mission to the world. Will you come and participate in it? It would be great to have you. And that's the invitation that he issues to all of us. So we start with Missio Dei, and then we have this mission. So you can go mission, next arrow. I want to draw a diagram of an arrow here. And what we start with is this mission. This is why we're doing it. We're doing it because God is doing it, and we're invited to get involved with him. And so there is. This is where language and words and Colin and I and others have been batting around phrases and words and what's the best way of describing it. And probably there isn't a best way. There's lots of ways. There's lots of images. But a phrase that you've heard us use again and again is missional church. And it's important that we retain the two. For me, I quite like this phrase. It is a bit of a buzz phrase, but there is the missional aspect that we are out there in our communities. We are being good news. It is incarnational. It's not just attracting people here, but we are living the Christ life in community in a way that is visible and transparent, in proximity with people who aren't believers, and in our businesses and in our workplaces and in our schools and in our colleges and wherever it is. And we're working for environmental issues and social justice, and we're working to restore and renew the whole of creation in its biggest form. And so we are missional in that sense, but we need to be community together. If we only do the missional and not the community, then we have nothing to invite people into when the time comes for that, that they can come to faith in a community and grow. They need that, and we need that. And so we have to have those two aspects, missional and church. It's about reaching out, and it's about strengthening community. Both of those things are really important. So we start with that. That is the direction that we're going on. It's very clear. We've probably not communicated that as clearly as we should have done or as often as we should have done. But that is the direction that we are going in as a church. And we're beginning to see and understand more and more of what that means. And then the second thing, the shaft of this arrow, is the vision. And this is how we are going to achieve this. And I want to say that all that we see today is how we are going to achieve this. The vision grows because the body plays its part. Somebody walks in on a Sunday one day, joins our community, and the vision of the church is expanded and grows because actually God is speaking to them about something, and they gather a bunch of people around them, and there's a team that's formed, and something emerges that doesn't exist just now that we are doing. And so the vision has changed. This is how we are going to accomplish it. And I just want to say, I am absolutely committed to the empowerment, I think we are absolutely committed, to the empowerment of individuals that we can help you discover what your dreams and your visions are, what God is speaking to you about. We can help you form teams or be part of a team and find your contribution. That actually the vision, this is how we are working out this missional church, all of these things. It changes, it grows, it develops, it depends on who's around. So, Neil, I've been looking for Neil, but I can't see him. Is Neil here? Where's Neil? Up there, there's Neil. Neil decides that God is speaking to him about not being in Turkmenistan or China or Afghanistan or Pakistan or Africa or any of the numbers of places. Have I named them all, Neil? Just about some of them anyway, that he's been in over the last 8 years. But actually, God's speaking to him about being in Edinburgh this year. And actually God's speaking to him about finances and money. And he starts sharing that with a few other people, and they start feeling, yeah, God's speaking to me about that too. And so a team forms, and we see the beginnings of a money clinic, which is about budget coaching, helping people budget their money, and education around money, how best to use their money. And that happens because Neil has a vision for it. And there are other things that can emerge as God speaks to each one of us. Not everybody is initiators. Some people will get alongside others. Some will be team players. You may help or pray or may admin or support, or you may work or guide or care. But I would really like to issue an invitation to every one of us to bring your gifts to this, to what we're doing, and make your contribution. Some of the things you see here are very much ours. They're family projects, like the Money Clinic. They're stuff that we are doing together. You may not be involved with it, but it is a family project. And there are some things which individuals are doing because they feel God has spoken to them about. And so there are individuals' contribution that they're making. We want to support individuals because they're part of the family. And we want to have some sense of ownership and responsibility around the projects that are ours. And I use those words in the best sense of them. So there are some projects, like any family, people are doing different things and involved in different things. There's some things where we want to support the individual in what they're doing, and there's some things that we're doing together as a family. Both are important. I really believe that in 5 years' time, if we have this meeting, we could, if we have this kind of day, we could see this building not being big enough for all the things that are happening. Some of the things that are happening here may drop off. They may just be for a season. Some of the things, I really want to see some things that will emerge that will still be here in 20 years' time. 2 minutes, thank you. I want to see some things that are still here in 20 years' time. That we're establishing something that remains and is here, and that we're building and we're serving our community, and there is favor and we're known, and God works through it for a generation or for a couple of generations. That's the vision for some of the projects that we're setting up now, that it isn't just for a year or two, but it is for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years. And some of us are going to need to put roots down in this community to make some of that happen. I'll come back to that. And so this vision changes as people bring their gifts, as we resources. It's about context. We're in Edinburgh in 21st century. We're not in Southampton or Bishopriggs or Seattle or Grand Rapids or anywhere else. We're in Edinburgh. And we have to work out what is God doing with us here in this city to contextualize the good news and incarnate, to flesh out, to live out this good news in our communities. And so finally, I just want to touch on, and I haven't got much time to say this, but the final bit is the arrows, or the feathers of an arrow, which holds us, keeps us going straight, and that's our values. It's our convictions and values. And we went through a process a few years ago of articulating some of those. Some of the language maybe needs updating as God is moving us on, but I think they capture the heart of what we are committed to and what we value. And they are important. I just want to pick one out. For example, that we believe in something that is grace-filled. So everything that we do must be full of grace. We appreciate the grace and the love, the unconditional love of God. So every initiative, every project, everything that we are doing must have grace and represent grace, God's grace, to other people. If it becomes harsh and judgmental, then it isn't consistent with who we are. And we will veer off track. I don't want to say too much. I just want to wrap up because my time is up. I want to say three things in conclusion. As you go around the stalls today, as you listen to the talks, as you talk to people, these projects out here are family projects. They're family things that we are doing. We cannot be involved with everything. But we can feel a sense of ownership about everything. And can I say, we should feel a sense of ownership, if I can use should. It would be a good thing to feel a sense of ownership about everything that we're doing. So we celebrate the successes of projects or initiatives or things that are going on in the church, even when we are not involved with it. And so I want to suggest today, if there are things here that you don't know very much about, they are the very stalls or displays that you need to go to and to talk to people and find out what they're doing so we feel that sense of ownership around all of these things. Learn about them as much as you can so that we can move to a place of ownership and support. Secondly, I really believe today God wants to speak to us individually. I've said it a number of times. And I want to suggest that God wants to speak to us about our contribution, our place within this body. Maybe it is something that exists here that actually we need to be involved with, or God is calling us to be involved with in some way, to support, to pray, to give, to be part of a team, to give our time, to sacrifice, to make something happen that isn't happening just now. So it could be something, one of these projects here, but it could be that you're one of the people that God is going to speak to, that there will be a display board coming down here with the project that you are involved with because God spoke to you today. So this is not just a day to look around what is already happening, but it's a day to listen to the Lord as we come together. And finally, and my time is up, I just want to say there are some people here, I believe, and I'm a bit on the edge here, there are some people here who need to put down roots in Edinburgh, in this community. And you need to settle in your heart that God has got you here until he moves you away. Pippa and I made a decision a number of years ago that we would never move out of a place where there was difficulty or problems or relational difficulties within the church. And of course there are times, and many of you know the history over the years, where actually there are relational tensions and difficulties. And we decided that we were never ever going to leave at that point. We were always going to work it through. And many of you will also know that last year, God spoke to us about considering moving to Manchester to take up a role of senior pastor of a church there. We explored it. It didn't happen. Now is a season for us to put our roots, redig our roots back in this community and say, we're here. We're not going anywhere else. We're not looking anywhere else. We're here. This is our place of rootedness and being. This is the community that we're part of, that we're committed to, and we will work this out for the next decade or two or three or four. Maybe until we die. I don't know. But unless God says very clearly that we're supposed to go, we're not going. And there are some people here that actually that's the kind of decision that you need to make. We can make a profound difference in 10 or 20 years in this city with people who will commit to being part of a community, living the kingdom, serving Christ, doing what God is calling us to do, sacrificing so that we can be a blessing to this city. And as we take bread and wine, I would like to suggest that it's an opportunity for us to renew covenant with God, but recognise the community that he has put us in, the family that he has called us to be part of, that we can be the good news to renew the whole, be part of the story of renewing the whole of creation. And that is me.